It's wonderful to have all of you tonight at our Christmas Eve service. I want you to be able to slow down now. I want you to be able to calm your hearts and take a deep breath. Maybe you've been caught up in the hustle and bustle of shopping and decorating and all the rest. And I want to encourage you just to slow it down tonight. Look around, soak in the moment. Tomorrow we celebrate the birth of God Himself. Let that sink in. The entrance of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. So slow it down. See the lights, the decorations. Think on Jesus. Block out the distractions. Focus. Sing in your hearts tonight, even as we have praised the Lord corporately. Smile, laugh, be encouraged. God has come. Think about that. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. O Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of light, angels lifting praise before you, sing throughout this holy night. Shepherds kneel before the infant, trumpets sound and anthems raise, as with joy our hearts are lifted, joined in wonder, love, and praise. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the Son of Mary. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Amen. All those Christmas carols give us joy as they powerfully testify to the truth of Christmas. And they together proclaim who Jesus is. And they tell us why he came to earth. The message of Christmas. And tonight we're privileged to turn to God's very word, the Bible, to learn from the scriptures about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to draw your attention to the Gospel of John, if you would. Turn there with me to John chapter 1. And tonight I want you to see this. The Christ of Christmas is the light of the world. So turn with me to John chapter 1. If you need a Bible tonight, you can pick up one of those pew Bibles. And if you turn to page 1058, you will find John chapter 1. Now, the Gospel of John was written by one of the 12 disciples, the Apostle John. And he was perhaps the closest disciple to Jesus of all, Christ's greatest friend on earth. And John knew Jesus, and he delighted to call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never got over that. He was so staggered by that. And he loved Jesus in response to Christ's love for him. He intimately knew the Lord Jesus, and he wants us to know him too. And that's why he wrote the Gospel of John. He tells us that, so that we too could enter into a relationship with Jesus. So he wrote this Gospel, and he tells us all about Christ for 21 chapters. Now tonight, I'm taking us to John 1, 1 through 18. It's a section called the prologue, and that just means it's the introduction for the whole book, the introduction of the Gospel of John. And I want you to see, let's see together the Christ of Christmas, who is the light of the world. So let's begin at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then we come to our passage for tonight, verses 14 to 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the one of a kind, the unique God, the beloved of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The one of a kind God, the only God who is in the bosom of the Father or who is at the right hand of the Father, he has explained him." Now, to understand this one, Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, who is the light of the world, I want to start with this point from verse 18. Here's point one tonight. God is invisible and has never been seen. That's point one. God is invisible and has never been seen. Look at verse 18 again. No one has seen God at any time. John says it just has never happened. And the Bible teaches this elsewhere. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the last chapter that Paul writes of his first epistle to Timothy, he's closing down, and he says this. I'll start at verse 13. "Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he," that's God, the Father, "will bring about at the proper time." And then he says this. "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality," and listen, "and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Paul says, God is the ultimate Lord of the universe, the King of all kings, eternally exercising dominion over us, all things, the entire universe. He's creator, he's ruler over all, and he dwells in unapproachable light. He is light, in fact, and in him there is no darkness at all. And he is the God whom no man has seen or can see. He's invisible. And maybe you remember the story back in Exodus chapter 33. Where Moses, delighted with God, says to God, "God, show me your glory. Show me your glory." And God says to Moses that he'll make his glory, his greatness, pass by, but you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Moses, you'll see me passing by, but you can't see my face. Well, why not? Because, you see, we're tainted and we're corrupted by sin. To look upon the face of God would destroy us. The sight of this all-pure, righteous God who dwells in unapproachable light would break apart our earthen vessels, just bust us to pieces, would obliterate us. We can't do it. We can't look on God and live. It would destroy us. And so then, it's a good thing for us that no one has seen God at any time. But back to our text, because John says in verse 18 that no one has ever seen God, but that presents us with a problem. If you cannot see God, then how can you know him? How can we ever know him? Is he unknowable because he's invisible? And that brings us tonight to a second point. Here's point two for you. The invisible God has revealed himself through the law of Moses. That's what John writes, that the invisible God has revealed himself through the law of Moses. And listen now, this is important to understand. See, although God has never been seen, that does not mean that he hasn't been heard. God is invisible, but God speaks. And God reveals himself through his words, the scriptures, this book, the Bible. That's how God reveals himself. He speaks. And through this book, the Bible, we see God revealed. And this is found in verse 17 of John 1. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. God is the lawgiver, and he teaches us through his word about himself. And it's through his law that his authority as God is seen. He tells us what to do. He speaks as God. He tells us about his holiness and his righteousness and his justice and his wrath. He writes the codes, and he's the judge. And God's law not only reveals him, it also reveals us. It exposes us. Not only does it reveal God, it tells us about ourselves. And what the Bible teaches us is that we're not good people. We're not righteous. We're not pure. We're actually sinful and disobedient. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The law condemns us as sinners. I mean, take the foremost commandment, the number one commandment. Jesus repeats it in Mark 12:30, and that is that we would love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. And when you hear that foremost commandment, I ask you, do we do that? Do you do that? Have we ever done that? No. See, we're all guilty because really, if we're honest, we love ourselves and not God. In fact, we want to be God. Romans 1 says that we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We do not honor God. We don't give thanks to him. We disobey God's law that we know. God draws a line. Don't cross over that. And we jump over it. He says, don't, we do it even so. He says, do, we don't, and we won't. He shines the light through his law, and we run for cover. Like cockroaches when you turn on the light. We run from God, from the light, and into the darkness of our sin. Now today I want to tell you a better way, tonight, on this Christmas Eve. And it is, don't run from God, but run to God. And run toward him and toward the light. And so this Christmas Eve, I want to help you. I want to help you through the Word of God so that you don't destroy yourself forever. In other words, this is very serious. So you don't end up in a real place called hell under God's fiery judgment for all of eternity, away from his light, in the darkness, weeping and gnashing your teeth. I want to tell you how to run to God tonight. So listen closely to the message because it really matters. Okay, so we've said so far that God is invisible, that he's never been seen, and secondly, that the invisible God has revealed himself through the law of Moses. The invisible God speaks through his word, the Bible. But the third point is really incredible. Here's point three. Listen, the invisible God has made himself visible through the Christ of Christmas, the light of the world. Let me say that again. The invisible God has made himself visible through the Christ of Christmas, the light of the world. So notice with me verse 17 again. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. See, God hasn't only revealed himself in his law, Mosaic law. He has given the fullest self-revelation through his Son, the light, Jesus Christ. Does verse 17 mean that there was no grace or truth in the law? No, it doesn't mean that. The law also reveals God's truth, his grace too. For example, the provision of animal sacrifices to cover his people's sins. But the law, you see, was just the shadow. And it pointed ahead forward to the substance, the reality of God the Son, Jesus Christ, the light. Verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The one of a kind God who is at the right hand of the Father, he has explained him. You see, that's why Jesus came, to explain God to us. To reveal God to us, to reveal him fully and finally. Jesus is God's message as God. Amen. Christmas is verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only Son, the one of a kind from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we call that the incarnation. And we mean by that God became a man. God came down as a human, a man. The light entered the world as one of us, the Christ of Christmas, who is the light of the world. He is the God-man. There's not been any person like him in all of history. Notice verse 1 again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God, no less. He's God the Son. And Jesus Christ is also human, born of Mary in Bethlehem. In verse 14, we read that he dwelt among us, says John. In the Greek, he pitched a tent. The invisible God became visible as a man, the God-man. He lived here among us on earth. He pitched a tent in our own backyard, says John. So that humans could see him and hear him and interact with him, the light of the world, revealing the invisible God. John says, we watched him. We saw his glory. Glory is of the only one of a kind Son from the Father. God, God, that's who we saw. John says, he's majestic. He's great. We saw his splendor, his power, his love, his truth, his goodness, his light. His miracles, his words, his actions, they all showed God his Father. God the Father shown by God the Son. Can we be more specific? Yes. Let me give you a fourth point from our passage. Here's point number 4. Jesus Christ, the light, came to reveal fully grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the light, came to reveal fully grace and truth. First, we see this at the end of verse 14. John tells us that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And then verse 17, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So let's talk first about truth. Do you want the truth tonight? The truth is a person, Jesus Christ. Are you searching for truth? Now, I know our world says it's okay to search for it, just don't ever find it. Because then you see, if you find it, you become closed-minded. How ridiculous is that? I'm on a quest, but I can't really complete the quest because, see, if I complete the quest, then I'm suddenly proud and closed-minded. Are you searching for the truth? Your search will end in Christ. He is the truth. He said it like this. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you've wanted truth, if you've been searching for the truth, you've come to the right place and the right person. It's Jesus Christ the Lord. The Christ of Christmas, who is the light of the world. Listen to what he says about himself. In John 8, verse 12, again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Listen to this. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And so tonight I say to you, come out of the darkness. Stop walking in the darkness, living in it, breathing it in. Why would you want that? Follow Jesus, the light of the world, and you will have the light of life. That's what he promises. Jesus is the truth. Him and him only. And then you go back to verse 17. What about that other word, grace? What is grace? Well, you see, grace is such a wonderful word because grace is God's goodness and generosity and kindness toward those who deserve only his wrath, who only deserve his punishment. You see, with grace through faith in Christ, we don't get what we deserve. And I'm so glad for that. God is not going to give me what I deserve because of his grace. When God saves us through the Lord Jesus, he pours out grace. And he forgives those who place their faith in Christ. And he brings them near to himself in loving relationship. The Bible talks about how the very righteousness of Christ is charged to our account, we who are unholy and sinful, that God brings us close as his sons and daughters through adoption, and he gives us an eternal inheritance and promises heaven all through Christ, the light of the world. And one last point. Here's point number five. In response, we must receive the Christ of Christmas, who is the light of the world. We must respond by receiving him. How could God forgive us, such rebels and sinners? Well, you see, first, Christ came to die. That's crucial to understand. Jesus Christ was actually born for the cross. That's why he came. He was born for the cross, to die for sinners. And through his death, he paid for our sins. He died in our place. He died our death. And through his resurrection, he showed him triumphant over sin and over death. You see, he's alive. He's here with us tonight. He has the power to save you if you will call on him and ask him to do that. He has the power to save you, and he will save you. That's such good news. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so tonight, on this Christmas Eve, if you have never done so, receive Jesus with open arms. Wide open arms, a wide open heart to receive the Lord and Savior. That means turning from your rebellion and turning from your way and your sin, to trust in Christ, to call on him to save you. And the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You want the truth? That's the truth. It's good news. That's why we say, that's the gospel. Call on him to save you tonight, and he will. That's the good news. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're here tonight because of Jesus, this mighty Lord who is our Savior, our hope, our life. And how good it is to read your word and have the light shine into our hearts, to have the light illumine our darkness, to make things clear for us, that we might know about this glorious Lord and trust in him and receive him and worship him. I thank you for everyone who's here tonight, Father. I thank you that your word does not return void. I pray tonight would be the night of salvation for some on this wonderful Christmas Eve. As we focus on Christ, may he be the love of our hearts. May he be the longing and desire of our hearts and our lives. And may he receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Well, tonight we end with our candlelight portion of the service.